Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast. My name is Eric Bryant. I'm one of the executive pastors at Gateway in Austin, Texas. My foundation exists to equip and empower church leaders in reaching new people and raising up leaders. I'm the author of Not Like Me and Fruitful, Becoming Who God Created You to Be. Join me on social media for Through the New Testament for Skeptics and Seekers. And be sure to sign up for my email newsletter where you can receive free resources at ericbryant.org. Well, I'm excited in this episode to have with me Nils Smith. How are you doing, Nils?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we go back to my Mosaic days. You used to be in Texas, but you're now in New York. For many, many years. And I'm excited to learn from you today. You are a social media maven. You are the, if I remember right, you are in charge of innovation for the Dunham Company.
Yep.
Talk about some of what you do, kind of on the edge, exploring what the church should know that you're maybe already aware of.
Yeah. So Dunham and Company, basically what they do is they help ministries do more ministry. And so that's done primarily through fundraising and marketing and media. And so it's my role at Dunham as their head of innovation to run ahead of those ministries. You know, and so our CEO, Trent Dunham, would say it's my job to be 3 to 5 years ahead of where ministries are going. And so, you know, when I started with them probably 8 years ago, now maybe 9 years ago, it was things like social media, it was YouTube, it was podcasting. And it's still, you know, ministries are still just getting started on some of those things. But, you know, in the last few years, that's been things like cryptocurrency and crypto donations, or we've had a lot of conversations about metaverse. And I think sometimes it's even helping to navigate when should we begin to adopt and integrate some of these new technologies. Right now, you know, I would say I'm having, you know, half my conversations around AI and what do we do with AI? And so it's, you know, I think we're always applying, and my background has been pastoral ministry. So it's kind of through that filter of, you know, biblical ministry, what does that look like? And then how do we align these technologies to accomplish our ministry goals rather than just adopting AI? Because we hear a lot about AI. There's got to be a real reason to use these new technologies, like just like Facebook. When we got on Facebook early days at Community Bible Church, it was like, why should we be on Facebook or social media? There had to be a core reason. It wasn't just because Facebook was trending.
Right. Well, maybe let's just start with AI. What are some of the ways you've seen churches using it well? I'm sure there are some churches that are trying to avoid it completely or will avoid it. But what are some of the positive ways you've seen this technology being used?
Yeah, you know, and I think one of the things that's been interesting about AI in comparison to social media is I felt like early days of social media, I was having, and I say having to, I was really pushing churches into social media and they were very resistant. What I'm experiencing today, especially post-pandemic, is so many churches that were like, okay, we had to play catch up on social media. I don't want to have to play catch up with AI. And in some ways, I think they're being maybe over-aggressive, and they may be even over-aggressive with things like the metaverse. AI is actually something we've all been using. We just didn't necessarily realize we used it. ChatGPT brought it to the forefront of how to use it. And I think some churches are doing some interesting things. I think probably the two primary uses that I'm seeing is one, just ChatGPT, or Bard is Google's version of ChatGPT, and some churches using it to basically help them even with like sermon prep and research and things where, just like Google really brought a search to the internet, ChatGPT takes search to another level. And it's not necessarily search. It will actually go and like right now you search on Google and then you got to filter through all the responses. Well, it basically does that for you. So I think using some of this kind of language driven, you know, AI systems is pretty cool. I think the other tool that I don't see being used a whole lot yet, but I see a lot of experimentation happening, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting, especially with the globalization of many churches that have gone online, is language translation. And language translation can actually happen so rapidly now, and the accuracy, thanks to AI, is really good. So when we think about our church and the gospel going to the ends of the earth, AI is a great tool to help us get there. The practical tool, as I'm a social media guy, that I'm actually seeing used very well, there's a tool called Opus Pro. And there's some other tools like it, but basically what it does is it takes your long form video content and creates shorts. And so like Instagram Reels or TikToks, and you can literally plug in your sermon and it will find what it believes to be, using AI, the best clips from your sermon to be able to post to TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, and so that, and YouTube Shorts. And so that tool, I think, has maybe been one of the most, it's, you know, one of the things that happens is churches like Elevation Church that have a staff of 20 video people that can edit all these videos. People say, you know, I wish I could do that. And the truth is you couldn't, because it just took a lot of manpower. Well, now with AI, you can literally in a matter of seconds create a lot of things that a year ago would have taken a team of two or three full-time people to do.
Wow, and that's so amazing.
It's moving fast. And I think that the tangible uses are becoming more and more relevant. And then there's new opportunities popping up every day.
Well, and I've used it to help me find some good quotes. And then I always double check, make sure that they're attributing the quote to the right person there on ChatGPT. But thank you for that. I follow you online. I think you give incredibly helpful, practical advice. What are some of the things you're sharing with church leaders when it comes to social media that maybe most folks are still missing?
Yeah, you know, the platform that I'm really pushing a lot of churches towards, and I think it really emerged, and it's not like it's anything new, but it's YouTube during the pandemic. And I think what we found is a lot of churches were live streaming to Facebook, but Facebook, you know, even as people were paying attention to watch time, people were watching for like 30 seconds without audio. And it wasn't real engagement that was happening, because in many ways, the behavior of what people do on Facebook isn't natural to that, where YouTube is a platform that everyone uses. And I think that's one of the things that's fascinating is my parents watch YouTube videos and my kids watch YouTube videos and I watch YouTube videos. And we do it on different devices. But I think what's also interesting about the progression of YouTube is it started as basically a website, and then it moved to a mobile app. And now the fastest growing place that people are engaging with YouTube is televisions. And so as we think about where people are consuming our church sermon content in particular, it's televisions, where you're going to have the best user experience for long form content, and where you're going to, you know, I think, have their attention in an undivided way. So YouTube has become such a great platform for sermon distribution, but then YouTube is a lot more than that, with, as they're prioritizing shorts, as they're copying TikTok, and they've got a community feature, which kind of integrates like a Twitter type of feed or a Facebook feed. And so YouTube has a lot of functionality and community development opportunities that I think a lot of churches are missing. And I think it's also with the platform that's going to stick around. We've seen MySpace come and go. We've seen Facebook rise and kind of dwindle a little bit. And Instagram is hot right now, or TikTok is really hot, but still they're kind of niche platforms, where, you know, I think a lot of churches use Facebook groups, but the problem is if you encourage a 20-year-old to get on a Facebook group, they're like, you're irrelevant. I'm not getting on Facebook. Or if you ask a 50-year-old to watch us on TikTok, that, you know, no chance they're going to do that. And so there are niche platforms. I think churches should probably use TikTok and should probably have some kind of presence on Facebook. But I think YouTube is that platform that's really has the most attention. The average American spending over an hour a day on YouTube. And it's also just, it's multi-generational, that everyone is using YouTube and beginning to develop habits of here's how I consume YouTube videos. So it's the platform that I think churches need to be prioritizing. And so that's where I feel like I'm pushing people to prioritize in their social media engagement, where I think a lot of them are kind of stuck on Instagram, which I think is a good platform, but I just, you know, their algorithms change it all so many times. Yeah. That you can't, I think it's just not as reliable. I still, even with social media, I think we have to have wisdom in not being dependent on that. Google will be, or YouTube, you know, which is owned by Google, will be one of our greatest evangelists for our churches, getting our content out there, using their algorithms to reach people. But that can also shut down our channel, and there's no like support phone number to call to get it back up. I mean, there are lots of issues, but I think we've got to lean in, play by their rules, and reach. I think there's a lot of opportunity to reach a lot of people, and for YouTube to be a front door for our churches. So that's the priority that I've been pushing churches to right now.
Well, and especially when you're thinking of, you know, reaching people that aren't connected to church. I mean, it's the second most used search engine, if I'm right, I understand.
Yes.
You mentioned streaming. What, since the pandemic, have you seen happening when it comes to online campuses at churches? What's still working? What have people shifted to, pivoted from? I'd be curious some of your insights on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think we saw a mass adoption of live streaming in particular during the pandemic. And it's, you know, I think what we're seeing, or what generally I'm seeing, is there was obviously a big surge during the internet that people saw how real it was. But I think there's also a movement back to, and a need and a desire that we have for flesh to flesh, face to face community. And streaming is an opportunity to reach people we might not otherwise reach, or it's an opportunity to engage people that can't maybe be there. But I think that the shift that I see a lot of churches making is understanding that the behaviors online are different than our behaviors in person. And so the realities of our behaviors in person is, to meet somebody face to face, you've got to do it at a specific place at a specific time. And that's, you know, and you gather, you know, whether it's a small group or, you know, a coffee or a worship experience, you do that at a specific time and place. The reality of how we consume media, though, is we've really moved to like a Netflix of consumption, where we watch or listen with podcast and with whatever. We've kind of, this is where broadcast television and radio are kind of dwindling, where you have to, if you want to listen to a certain show and watch it at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, we're like, I'd rather, we even stopped doing that with DVRs, you know, so our behaviors had already started changing. And so I think what's happening with churches is, people want to consume your sermon content in particular, or, you know, will find that content, but they don't necessarily just want to consume it on Sundays at 11 o'clock during your live stream. So a lot of churches have been putting 90% of their effort into their live stream and then just repost that for on demand, when the reality is 90% of their engagement is happening on demand. So the churches that I think are seeing a lot of success are really prioritizing distribution through on demand content and really thinking through, how do we integrate calls to action into that sermon? Also knowing that somebody might watch this 2 years from now and take action. And so it doesn't stop when the live stream ends. It doesn't stop when the service ends. It actually will continue for years to come. And I think that creates a significant ministry opportunity.
I like that. Tell us a little bit more about some of these evergreen calls to action or ways that you've seen churches do that well.
Yeah, you know, this is where it's often a moving target, because a lot of these platforms, even YouTube, just they're in the process of removing links from your YouTube profile. But one of the things that we found in one of the churches that I've worked with is Transformation Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they, you know, they've done an incredible job reaching a huge audience on YouTube. And one of the things that we found is, we started calls to action with it being a link to their church's website. Very few responses to that, because somebody had to remember that link. And often it was like transformchurch.us/invite or whatever the website was. And it just, people weren't responding to those calls to action. So then we moved to a phone number of text us if you want to do this. And there was a 10-digit phone number. And I remember, Eric, we actually had somebody call our church and say, you have to change your phone number, because I keep getting text messages that say saved to my phone number every Sunday at 11, you know, when the live stream would take place. And her phone number was just one digit off from our. So by having a 10-digit number, though, it led to a lot of mistakes, that literally this person was getting overwhelmed with people getting saved, texting the wrong phone number. So we knew that we were actually missing a lot of people. So we moved it to a short code. So at 828282. And we saw three times the number of indicated responses to both salvations and giving, which were those kind of key calls to action that we were consistently putting out every week. And so by just making it easier for people to respond, so for them, SMS was that primary call to action. Others have maybe an easier URL or website that works, or sometimes people even use an email, just say, email us at this. And that works as well. But I think at the end of the day, you've got to have the clear actions that you want people to take. And I think one of the things that I've seen churches do is, they do have those calls to action in their live stream, but they leave them out in their on-demand content. And I think you're 90% of your audience is missing those calls to action that you want people to take. And so that's where I think integrating that into, and this is where I think podcasting and YouTube on demand are those two primary platforms for especially sermon distribution. And then there's so many other content types. I think that once we begin to get into that flow, we realize, oh, wait, we could actually take our men's Bible study and put that online too. Or we could actually take our, you know, or let's actually maybe create a show, you know, that's podcast style for our church. Sandals Church is a great example of a church that's doing a great job of creating, you know, additional content for their people. And so there's so many opportunities there.
Mm. Well, your website is nilssmith.com, NILSSMITH.com. You are a consultant, you're a speaker. You are, you know, absolutely incredibly helpful just following you online. Are there ways that people can get involved or even learning from you? Maybe they're a pastor or church leader with a social media team. I know you do some training in that. Talk to us about some ways people can learn from you, Nils.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, my, you know, if you go to the website or just Google me online, you'll find my different social handles, and I'm very active. I'm in my DM. So I love to just help and connect with as many church leaders as possible in any way that I can. I also have a podcast called Social Media Church. So socialmedia.church is that website. And one of my priorities, Eric, right now, and I'm launching one of my first cohorts, and I'm hoping to do it multiple times, is a program I'm calling Church YouTube Lab. And so that's churchyoutubelab.com. And that's, we're just helping churches, you know, we're taking 10 churches at a time and deep diving into how to optimize their YouTube channels. But just at the end of the day, though, I love the church. I love just helping church leaders, and grateful for opportunities like this to be able to share from my various learning opportunities.
Well, I love what you're doing. Again, thanks for mentoring me from afar. I follow you on Instagram, and it's just great to see you again. Thank you so much for the ways you're helping advance the kingdom. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on the Post Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.